I'm looking forward to learning the secret handshake from Tommy soon. So, but I've asked to been asked to talk about building the engine to drive demand, and specifically in the China market that I work in. And I know we're probably a little behind schedule, so I'll try to go through some of this fairly quickly. But to start with, just want to throw up and let you know everybody has problems, whether you're in central Illinois or if you're northeast China. Everybody can have problems, whether it's harvesting corn or other things. So the level of technology and the level of equipment may be different, but there are pretty much similar problems around the world. Today, in China, we have quite an array of different programs that we work on, but I'm going to concentrate on two of them, our feed grain demand building program for the swine industry and our DDGS program. When looking especially a country like China that's so huge, we have to do more strategic demand building. Yes, there's 1.3 billion people in China. Yes, half the world's hogs population is in China. But we can't be everything to everybody. We have to break this down. We have to look at sectors where we think we can make a change and where we can measure those changes. We have to be looking at regions where those changes can be tied to U.S. feed grains or co-product imports. And so we're very centered and we're looking at that coastal region from Qingdao and the Shandong province all the way along into Guangdong and Guangxi province. So those areas in that coastal region where there's big, huge feed demand, plus they're in a region where imported U.S. corn or other co-products can be competitive. The other thing to look at when looking at demand building is you need to be bringing value to all the parties involved. We need to be bringing value to the local farmers or feed millers, importers or traders that we're working with in China. And one of the things we do and we work on very hard, at least in our China programs, to remain the respectability that we have is we're looked at as a non-soliciting third-party provider of information. We're not selling a vaccine or a feed additive bag when we're having our program. So we come off as very well respected in our different demand building programs that we do in China. We have to bring value to our members. Between increasing value of feed grains back at the farm gate for you, or even some of our programs such as our DDGS registration and regulation programs that we provide assistance to Grain Council members. And ultimately, we have to meet the goals that ultimately lead to U.S. feed grain and co-product exports. Looking at our swine program, our key approach is to work with large industry leaders in the main feed grain consumption regions and deal with their systems and the specific issues and problems that they have. We select partner farms to work with. You have to be selected to be part of one of our partner farms. So we have a criteria to identify these types of farms. They have to be open to their production problems and open those problems to our consultants and staff so that we can be able to help them. They have to be willing to share their production records, have to give us access to their pigs and barns. They have to be very progressive and fast-growing and be willing to implement the plans and actions that we provide to them. If not, we have in the past and will continue to drop people who don't want to follow our recommendations. There's too many people to work with in China, so if you aren't willing to work with us and adopt the things we're trying to get you to do, we'll find other people that are. So we actually have a very selective criteria to find people to be one of our partner farms. And somewhat unique in that the partner farms that we work with, there's probably about, I don't know what the exact number is, we have about 40 of those partner farms who actually take part in what we call our benchmarking program. They go in on a weekly basis, go through the Grain Council's Chinese website, and they can go in and input their production records on a weekly basis into our system. They can then check their production records against the average of the farms in our system and see how they're doing. And it gives us a chance to look and see what are some of the problems that these partner farms that we're working at and help them out ahead of time as we see some of the changes in their own production records. But just as an example, I threw up a couple of examples of some of the, these are actually charts that come out of our benchmarking program. This first one we'll call Company M. They have five different sow farms or finishing hogs and 15 different finishing sites around China, over 32,000 sows in their production system at the end of 2009, making them the second largest pig producer in China. But this is just looking at their birth to mortality death rate loss from 2008 to 2009. The blue line is our actual total average of all the partner farms in our system, and the green line is for Company M. And by following some of the programs that we've provided to them, they've been able to control their death loss, which means they're producing that many more pigs that are eating, whether it's domestic Chinese corn and absorbing that up, or more pigs available to look at eating imported DDGS. The second example I have here we'll call Company Y. Again, they have six different sow farms, over 7,000 sows at the end of 2009, the fourth largest pig producer in China. And here is, again, we're looking at the weekly pigs weaned per sow per year number. And again, the blue line is the average for all the pigs and all the farms in our system. It's not a national average. But, we've tried to, there are no real good data on a national average, so we're just comparing them to our average of our farms in our system. And again, you can see through following our programs, they've been able to overcome some of the severe PRRS outbreak that they had in 2007 and overcome that and come back and increase their production. Again, keeping that many more pigs that are involved in our program that are eating feed grains, eating feed grain co-products. We actually kind of track this. This is what we call our pork powerhouse, the China pork powerhouse for 2009. These are the top 20 pig producers in China today. Ranked from 1 through 20. And you'll see we actually give them a U.S. Grain Council score. A score of A means we're working with that company on a monthly basis within our swine program. B score means 2 to 3 times a year, and C means at least once a year. And you can see the names of the companies, the number of sows they've had at the end of 2009, whether they're a private, public, state-run company, and some of the main products they produce. And we put in a new chart or a new column here at the end. We're actually trying to now look at what their expansion numbers. So this isn't ideas, you know, we'd like to do this. This is actual expansion being done today with these top 20 farms. As you can see, there's some, you know, some big companies that are trying to become even bigger. If you look at COFCO down at number 18, they literally are trying to expand by 100,000 sows. They were in our office a week ago sitting down. We have them ranked as a C. They want to become an A in our program in the next few months. They want our assistance in helping with pig design, pig flow, disease control programs. So as they expand to go from 8,000 sows to 100,000 sows over the next few years, they want to make sure they set up their system right, and they see the respect in the program that the Grain Council is running and want to be more involved in our program. So this, you know, there are farms that we're working with that aren't a part of this, but just to give you an idea of the impact we have in some of the big players in the Chinese market. And the other thing is, because we have our foot in the door, we're now in talking to these guys about including DDGS in their rations and incorporating our DDGS program and synchronizing that in with our swine market development program. To switch a little bit, talk about some of the key approaches to our DDGS promotion program. Basically, we do a lot of work of trying to bring U.S. exporters and Chinese buyers together. We've had various DDGS workshops and buyer mission teams in the U.S. May not sound very exciting. The Grain Council has been doing workshops and seminars and teams for many, many years. But we can probably trace all of the major buyers and importers of DDGS to China today to the people that have taken part in these programs in the last 2 years. And so we can say we are making a difference with that. We do a lot of one-on-one meetings with some of the larger feed companies and larger farm operations to get them to understand how to incorporate DDGS into their diets. Again, we're trying to increase the synergy with our DDGS and swine program. And the other thing is we're trying to introduce those big swine companies to the traders in China that are now importing. Most of the big swine companies don't necessarily have import permits or the really wanting to import directly, so we're trying to put them in touch with the trading companies in China that are already importing DDGS so they know where to go to buy it. I talked about a little bit, we have a program where we're working with we have 13 U.S. Grain Council members that are now signed up for our Ministry of Agriculture Feed Registration Assistance Program. And we do, on a daily, weekly basis, educating both U.S. exporters and even Chinese importers on all the confusion that's going on Chinese regulations, rumors, misinformation that's going out there. I could spend the next hour and a half talking on this point alone, so if you have questions, see me later. But we do have this program out there and providing to Grain Council member companies to try and help them through the registration process in China. So what are the results of this? Well, you can see, you know, Mike and a few other people already talked. We've gone from 100 tons to 643,000 tons in under 2 years. And obviously, that's a huge jump, and it's like China. Everything happens quickly, it happens fast, and it happens big. And of that 643,000 tons, 95% of that traded in the last 6 months. So you can say that's almost a half year of business. So, you know, what looking out, you know, it's hard to say what is the maximum number could be. But if we did that in a half year, obviously you would hope you could do, you know, double that in a year's time, and possibly more. We're just scratching the surface and getting DDGS into the swine industry. So there's possibilities are still out there for that market to continue to grow, especially as the supply of DDGS in the U.S. continues to grow. So what are the end results? Just that strategic demand building programs, along with good quality staff and well-respected programs, can lead to exports, even a very difficult market like China. Thank you.